Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, today you may be aware that there was a press briefing given by various ministries, health ministry, you had the police minister, you also had small business minister come together and explain to us what it is that was found in the toxicology report of the six children that passed away in Naledi. And we just wanted to understand and really get a better grip of what it is that was found in the bodies of these young children. I just want to indicate that the gathering also confirmed that they don't yet have a link, a direct link between what killed the children and what is present in some of the spaza shops. They have taken samples, but they do not have those results yet. So all we have is what seems to have killed the children. Toxicologist Dr. Gerard Verduren is on the line with us. Dr. Verduren, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Dr. Verduren, can you just maybe explain what is an organophosphate turbophos? What is that?
The organophosphates has quite a large group of typical pesticides. You don't actually find household insecticides anymore. They're more in the agriculture arena because of the toxicity. And turbifos is, if I think about all the organophosphates, it is one of the most toxic ones. And it is used very widely in crop production as a nematicide and to kill things like beetles in the ground and wireworms, in particular for the potato growers and for things like the maize growers.
All right.
So it is a toxin which is available as a registered pesticide in the country, but only for agricultural use and not at all for any home, garden or consumer use.
So turbifos is one of the organophosphate grouping in a sense.
Yes, that's correct, yeah. There are many organophosphates. Many of you know the word chlorpyrifos. Chlorpyrifos was widely used. It's going to be banned very soon by the Register of Act 36 of 1947. And back in the old days, it was very widely used in home garden applications as well. But we had so many human incidents of exposure and poisoning that CropLife SA, which is the industry association for pesticides, decided to ask the registrar to ban it from household use. And the number of poisoning incidents with that fell to virtually zero. To give you an idea of why we don't allow organophosphates in the home and garden use, but we do allow them in the agriculture arena.
So turbifos, as you're saying, is used for agricultural purposes. How exactly would it be applied?
It's available in South Africa as a granular formulation, in other words, it's fine granules.
Yes.
Comes in a box, normally 10 kilograms in a box, and it goes into a planter. So when you do your planting of potatoes, for example, It's a multiple type of machine, if I can call it that. There's something which opens up a V-shaped planting furrow. Then after that, you put a turbifos down on the soil after you've opened up the soil. And then on top of that, you put the potato tuber. And then there's something which closes up the soil over the potato tuber. So the purpose of the turbifos there is to protect that young tuber with the eyelets from being attacked by nematodes, which are basically little eelworms. They are exceptionally small, but very, very damaging to any crop. And also things like wireworm and certain soil-borne beetles that can damage your potato crop. So if it's underground, if it's properly used in a planter and properly covered up, then I've never seen a human poisoning or a wildlife poisoning with turbifos. All the incidents of human poisoning and wildlife poisoning and lately also dog poisoning is where people use it unlawfully with ill intent or they got it illegally in their possession. And that's why we see deaths like we heard today from the Minister of Health, Mr. Aaron Motsoaledi.
Can I ask a silly question?
Yeah.
As it protects the potato, Is that potato, I mean, obviously we've been eating potatoes that have been grown like this. So the stupid question is, how is it that it doesn't affect us, those who consume the potato?
Okay, well, that's a very good question, because there are two types of, call it, pesticides in the whole arena of pesticides, which includes the insecticides, fungicides, and herbicides. Some of them are non-systemic, some of them are systemic. So the systemic ones are taken up by the plant when the plant grows, and it protects the plant then again biting or sucking insects. The non-systemic ones are basically contact, so they don't get absorbed into the plant. But when an insect comes into contact with that, then it kills the insect off. And any pesticide, doesn't matter whether you talk about the old organophosphates or something like turbifos, it has a breakdown curve. So if you plant your potato now, remember that potato plant grows for a couple of months before it has the potato tubers, and then you cut the above ground part off and you harvest the tubers. And over that period of time, the turbifos does the job, but it breaks down into very, very small and acceptable residues. We call it the maximum residue limit, which is then safe for people to consume. So as a person, you can consume something like 0.2 milligrams per kilogram of your body weight turbifos per day without any ill consequences. So even though it's very toxic, it does break down in that period when the potato plant grows and produces the edible part of the crop. And there's no issue around that if you follow the label instructions that we hope all the farmers do.
Okay. So let's just hypothetically assume that we are discussing this as the actual, well, they're saying this is what killed the children. I'm trying to understand how on the, you know, open market are we getting this product becoming available to all of us? What does it look like? Can it be sold to us without knowing what it is?
That to me is a real mystery, because I've been working on poisoning ever since 1987. And the main compound that I've been concerned about has always been aldicarb, or what they call in the streets, halepimirimi. And I think we all know halepimirimi, those little black granules that are so toxic that if you ingest them, you're basically dead. And I've seen many human poisonings, and I'm very sure over the last couple of months there were also many human poisoning with that. But turbifos started featuring about a year and a half ago, as far as I'm concerned, with all the calls I get into my poison center about dogs and people and wildlife and even cattle being poisoned with turbifos. Turbifos looks different from aldicarb. Aldicarb is quite easy to see, because it's either a very fine extruded powder with a very pungent odor, very black in color, or it is a nice round little granule with a dark gray color with no odor. The turbifos is different. It is an angular little granule. In other words, not the round granule.
Yes.
It is either a brown to a dark brown color, or it's a creamy color, and there is a pungent odor to it.
Okay.
So if you have the two in your hands and you know what you're looking with, you can easily tell which one is which one. And my question is, we don't know how the turbifos gets onto the streets. We've got a very good idea of how aldicarb comes into the country unlawfully across the border from Zimbabwe, and then being dispensed and sold in the streets by the street vendors and so on to people as a chemical to kill the rats and stuff. But the turbifos to me is baffling. So we haven't found out yet how the turbifos gets into the hands of people and gets into the food supply and the food chain. I've heard on the radio, on the news, the first time I heard about the lady, people very strongly hinted at aldicarb. And it also made sense to me, because I know when children, even adults, ingest aldicarb, your chance of survival is virtually nothing. And the doctors will also tell you, if you don't get a patient within 10 minutes with aldicarb and treat the patient, the patient stands no chance. But now today, the minister revealed it was turbifos. And turbifos is even more difficult, because it acts as fast as aldicarb. The symptoms are very similar. The treatment doesn't work as well as with aldicarb. So the turbifos patients stand, from my perspective as a toxicologist, virtually no chance of survival, even if they get into the hands of a very good doctor or a nurse or a paramedic. And we don't know how the turbifos enters the market. I've seen turbifos once in Kleberge, where I live here in the Eastern Cape, being sold by a street vendor. I've asked my colleagues who are COVID operators that work with me in Gauteng, Pretoria, and Johannesburg and Soweto, they don't reveal to me that they see Tubifast on the streets in the typical formulation that we see. There's a rumor running around that people talk about Tubifast as a yellowish liquid. Now, we don't have that in South Africa. So all our Tubifast are granular. So I sat tonight and thought about this whole story, and I'm worried about the fact that the Tubifast that featured now over the last couple of months in many human poisonings, in the Western Cape in particular, and in Gauteng in particular, might be a Tubifast that we've never seen in the country that also come across our borders illegally. Because apart from Tubifast and Aldecarb, we see massive quantities of unlawful diclofos also on the streets, which is luckily not as toxic. So people very often escape with a very bad poisoning, but they survive that. We see methamphetamine, which we know people decant unlawfully and so on. But the Tubifast, I can honestly tell you, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know which formulas it is. I don't know how people get hold of it. All I know, it is in the food chain. And the question I asked this afternoon to other colleagues of mine on a very well-known television channel is, how does it get into the foodstuffs? Is it malintent from somebody who puts it into the foodstuffs? Is it maybe people making a mistake? Because we see with Aldecarb very often that people make a mistake. They buy this 20 rand sachet from a street vendor. They take it home. They think it's going to be rodenticide. They forget about it. The children get it. They think it's pepper. They put it in their food. And the whole family expires on the spot. And I had the most heinous situation where a family of five, mother, father, and three kids died in the Vaal Triangle years ago because of Aldecarb. Now, I think the same thing happens with Tubifast, that people get hold of it because it's sold to them illegally. But in what formulation this stage, I cannot tell you because I haven't seen it. And I've asked all my people that work with me, and these are state officials and private people that work really hard to try and come to the bottom of it to find out what type of Tubifast are we looking at. Are we looking at the pure Tubifast, which is a yellow liquid that I've never seen in my life in our country? Or are we talking about the commercial Tubifast that might be stolen from a farm or stolen from a warehouse and then put into smaller sachets and then sold by street vendors or put into a spaza shop where it contaminates the food or contaminates food at home where people ingest the stuff and then suffer the ill consequences like we saw with those six poor kids that died in the lady.
So the pure Tubifast that you're speaking of, that you're saying is a yellowish sort of liquid, has anybody sent you even a picture of what this yellowish liquid looks like?
I know what it looks like, but it's never been available in South Africa at all because our one company imports their Tubifast formulation ready-made from a foreign nation. So it's ready-made. It comes in the box ready-made. Other companies might import that yellowish liquid, the active ingredient, in a large container. It goes into a formulation plant, and then the formulation plant takes it and puts it onto a carrier medium, which is called atapalgite, which is a clay mineral. And that then becomes the granule, which contains 10% of the mass, is then the Tubifast, which is used then in the planting furrow when you plant your maize or your potatoes, whatever else crop you're planting with it. So the only place where the yellow liquid might be will be at a formulation plant. And the controls there are very steep and quite stringent because they're working there with very toxic stuff in large quantities. I've never, ever seen that yellow Tubifast liquid in my life anywhere in a shop on the street, at a street vendor in a spaza shop. But I've seen diclofos by the tongue. I've seen diazinon. I've seen methamphetamine. I've seen the old chlorpyrifos, which we don't see anymore now because we're very rapidly divesting it and getting it out of the country. But the pure Tubifast in my life, in the hands of the public or a vendor, never in my life seen that.
Sure. I'm quite worried because if people have to be aware of what it is that they have in their cupboards, what it is that they're being sold, I would like for people to know, you know, what to look out for. And at least you're saying it's a yellowish kind of liquid. And do we know what people are buying it for? You know, if it's on the streets,
what
are we saying?
Yes,
people are buying
I can
for?
Tell you. Yeah, I can tell you what people buy. The liquid insecticides they buy, which are unlawfully packaged, are normally in a little 30ml, 50ml, or 100ml spray bottle. And you recall in the times of COVID, we had our isopropanol in a little spray bottle. So they take those spray bottles now, and they decant liquids into that, like, for example, methamphetamine, or diclofos, or diazinon, and sell it to people for cockroaches. They call it fumigation chemicals, right? And then the aldecarb and the terbifos, I believe, are sold in small sachets, anything from 1 gram to 20 grams to kill rodents with. Now, the problem is none of these street pesticides, we use that common name street pesticide because they're sold on the streets. They're not sold in a proper shop. None of them are legal because they're not registered in the country. They're not in a legal container. Remember that the Registrar of Act 36 approves your product, gives it a registration number, which starts with an L. Then he approves your container. In other words, it's a box or it's an HDP container or LDP container. It might be a polypropylene container. That must be approved. And then the label must also be approved. If that's not, all the things are not in place, whatever you sell is then unlawful. And what we see is now that a lot of these unlawful pesticides, or I just call them poisons because technically they're not pesticides, they're poisons, are sold to the poor people out there, unlabeled, unmarked. No one knows what is in it. No one knows what the hazard level of this stuff is. And no one knows what the risk is if you open that packet or that little spray bottle and you start working with it. And that is where the real threat lies to our people in South Africa, that they work with commodities that they've got no idea of how toxic this is and of the consequences of using these things.
We followed the story earlier. As you said, you know, the minister was giving a sense of what it is that they think killed these children. We know that, I think it was last week, they said they apprehended three people who were selling the product, but they're out on a warning because they...
Wow.
Because they're not manufacturers of this product. I mean, that for me is a big
concern.
They're
out on a warning.
They're out on a warning because they're not manufacturers of the product. For me, a big, big concern. In your experience, you know, how would we have to put a stop to this?
Well, the first thing is, if you're in possession of an unlabeled pesticide in the country, you contravene Regulation 181 of Act Number 36 of 1947, because it says no one is allowed to be in possession of an unlabeled container or of a pesticide in any other packaging than the packaging approved by the Registrar of Act Number 36 of 1947 with the approved label. For due reason, because if I buy rodenticide, it has to be in the package. I need to know it's a rodenticide made for rodents. Or I buy insecticide, for example, a deltamethrin, it's made for killing the aphids in my garden, on my roses.
Wow.
That's the purpose of being so strict about this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So you contravene the act. So from my perspective, if you found in possession of an unlabeled pesticide, you should be apprehended immediately, because we see now what the consequences are. People die. And for me, to let them out on bail is completely contrary to what we try to achieve, to suppress the legal sale of illegal pesticides.
It's not even on bail. On bail will be a different story because they'd still have to appear. They were out on a fine of 2,000 rand plus, but nothing more than 3,000 rand and a warning. They are out, and that case is now closed and shut.
Oh, that is unbelievable. For me, those people should be charged with culpable homicide because they sold a murder weapon to somebody else. That's what happened. I'm involved in many cases with the police and the National Prosecuting Authority and the Department of Agriculture. And when somebody dies because of the misuse of a pesticide, whether a legal pesticide registered or an illegal pesticide in an unmarked container, there's immediately cause to charge the person who sold the chemical or used the chemical for culpable homicide, not for murder, because seldom the intent of the person to kill somebody, but for culpable homicide, most definitely. That is a high schedule crime. That's a Schedule 6 crime. So I cannot understand why the people were not apprehended and held in custody until the case is closed, because now we sit with an open case, and I think it's a real problem for us. And it's not a deterrent. Because
it's
now people know I can sell
2,000
this stuff.
Rand.
I'll be going to the 2,000 rand. Anybody can pay 2,000 rand. Mm. That's the maximum penalty under Act 36. But the police should lock them away. Remember, Act Number 36 are not the police. They are the investigating people. They hand the case over to the police, and the police have the arresting mandate. The Act 36 inspectors and the registrar doesn't have the mandate to arrest people. That lies with our police service, and they should keep them in custody until the case is concluded. And I would like to believe that those people should be reapprehended and charged with culpable homicide, because six kids are now gone. Imagine what the families feel like. There's no justice to this case if you let these people loose on the streets again, because they're going to commit the same crimes. And I've seen it myself with all my raids I've done with the police and with the Metro Cops and with the Department of Agriculture. We apprehend the same foreign national three times in 3 weeks with LD Cop in their possession. Mm. Every time they get released with a warning, and they go back and they commit exactly the same crime. And the end result is very often inevitable death of a person who gets hold of that unregistered pesticide. And imagine what the families of those people feel like.
Those who are buying it, you know, just maybe let's talk about the different uses. And I've obviously spoken and heard a lot about the fact that people want it for rodents and all of that. I dare say, I don't think the rodent issue is going to go away, because it's a bigger problem. The city municipalities need to deal with the rubbish, which is not always collected. And so it spirals out of control, and people then want to take the responsibility themselves. So that's how we find ourselves here. Just broadly, you know, your sense of how we need to nip this thing in the bud at its origins, the problem itself.
Well, I had a lot of discussions with many people the last couple of days, because despite the fact that the Department of Agriculture inspectors who work under Act 36 have done the level best, and together with SARS and Customs to try and find the origin of where these chemicals come from, all of us been unsuccessful. I've been with SARS and Customs and with the inspectors from Act 36 in the Coega Harbour with the lady who does all the inspections there. And all the documentation of the imported stuff in the container, all the documentation was falsified.
Yep.
So we could never locate anybody, could never locate the endpoint of the chemicals going up to Johannesburg. So that is where crime intelligence needs to come in and start poking around into the deep ends of that particular crime to find out who are the kingpins behind all of this. That to me is one thing where I think all authorities should put their effort behind the crime intelligence to start working on that. But you early on mentioned municipalities, etc., the dirt and so on. Let us also take some blame back to us as citizens. We need to clean up our own environments where we live, definitely, to mitigate the problem of all the rodents. And what I would also like to tell all of us tonight, me and yourself as a citizen, we are not allowed to buy an unpackaged or an unlabeled pesticide, because the regulation says you may not buy, sell, or use an unpackaged and unlabeled pesticide. So even though the person selling it committing a crime, if I buy that pesticide, I also commit a crime because of the fact I expose myself and my family to a very toxic chemical. So don't buy it. If you have a problem with rodents, I went into a very nice spider shop today. I must tell you, it was very good to walk in there. It was clean. Everything was on spec. They sell rodenticide there, not expensive. Buy a legally registered rodenticide on the market. There's ample of them to control rodents. If you have a problem with cockroaches or you've got a problem with bed bugs, there are ample fumigants on the market. You can buy off the shelf and sort them out. Don't go and buy some goods unlabeled, because not only do you contravene the act and you support the crime syndicates in buying this stuff from them, but you risk your life because you don't know what the level of hazard is of that chemical which comes in an unlabeled container without any markings on it. That's what I would like to say to our society out there, civilians. We've got to take control over ourselves also. But my appeal then goes back to our ministers, Minister Aram Motsoaledi, Minister of Police, Minister of Trade and Industry, Minister of Health, all of you, put some effort into it and let us all be aware of what these things look like. And if you find any vendor or any spider shop or any person in possession of it, the first thing is to educate them about the fact that that action of having an unlabeled and an unproperly packed pesticide is unlawful. Secondly, give them a warning. And if you find them again in possession of it, then you apprehend them. I'm not saying put them behind bars for life, but the shock effect of being apprehended and put into custody for a day or a weekend, That should teach people not to play around with these things. And that's what I think we should all work towards, that we clamp down on the crime syndicates and the criminal elements among society. They might be locals, they might be foreign nationals, it doesn't matter. To me, we are working towards a safer and healthy environment for all, not only for our people, but for the wildlife that I work mostly on, and for people's pets that are very often poisoned. So don't partake in crime syndication by buying the illegal stuff, because you're helping them to continue their business and you're preventing proper law enforcement, because I can tell you the law enforcement people in the country are too few and too far between to stop this. Citizens, take control and help us, help the authorities, help people like myself that work with authorities to stop this by not buying it and reporting it then to the police if you see people selling these things on the streets or as part of the shop illegally.
Do our officials know what to look for?
Very often not. Our officials from the Department of Agriculture know very well. I must say, those people are some of my best friends and they work very hard. They work weekends. They go out and they do all the stuff. They know. But the health inspectors that work at the municipal level are often not well acquainted. Give me a second.
Okay.
Not well acquainted with what these particular chemicals look like. Okay. And so are our metro cops not well informed, and our normal South African police service officers are not well informed about this. So I think it's a case of the Department of Agriculture should work with us as the industry to show people what does a street pesticide look like. And if you see something of a black granule type or a brown granule type, or you see an unmarked bottle with a pale yellow liquid or a darker yellow liquid, automatically your suspicion levels must go up 1,000%, because it is most probably an illegal poison sold as a street pesticide by somebody who's got no idea what they got. Because remember, with all of these pesticides we mentioned tonight, if you want to trade with them, you also need to be licensed by the Department of Health to carry a Group 1 license to sell hazardous substances, which I can guarantee you those people don't have. Because if you have the license, you have to have special locking facilities. You have to keep a poison register where you record all the details of the person selling it to, and those things are not in place. So I think we need to expand the knowledge base of these street pesticides amongst our law enforcement agencies, and that I include everybody from the police down to our officials at the metros. And we need to educate our citizens about what they look like and what not to do with it. And also against this effect, do not buy them, because you're buying, and I want to use the dirty word, you're buying a chemical warfare agent there, because that's what's going to happen to you. You know what happens in chemical warfare? You kill people. That's exactly what happened in our country now. Sure. Chemicals are used unlawfully and we're killing people with them, and that to me as a chemist and toxicologist is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to the industry I work for, because we sell legal pesticides in the country with the purpose of having healthy crops and protecting people's health against things like mosquitoes and those sort of things. We hate the idea of some of the pesticide being sold illegally, because it kills people. It kills wildlife. It kills people's pets on a day-to-day basis.
What worries me is if these factories that manufacture this product, Tobiforce, are not here, we're not likely to see anybody go behind bars if we cannot charge the people who are distributing the product and we only give them a fine and a warning. It is a major, major concern for me.
Yeah. I agree with you. Many years ago, I remember when I was still the head of the poison working group, it was an NGO, all sorts of poisons. There was a special chemical crimes unit within the South African police force. So whenever we had a poisoning of wildlife, it was wonderful. We went out there, we did the investigation, we got the samples, we got them analyzed, we opened a docket, we gave it over to that unit. And a lot of justice was served by that unit in the police force. Now, I know the police are overburdened with all the crime in the country. We've got lots of stuff. We just heard now about the Minister of Police also appointing a special unit to look out for this syndication around bribery and corruption and blah, blah, blah. But maybe now is the time to say, let us think about establishing a special unit in the police that looks out for chemical crimes, because it's not just poisoning wildlife. It's also poisoning our people.
Yeah.
Now, to me, human being, and wild animal is on the same level. Some people might not agree with me, but for me as a person, all life forms are equal. But the problem is when we start poisoning our people, then you start getting the shivers, because the question is, when is it my turn? And no one on our show tonight wants to be poisoned. And I deal with these cases every single day of my life, where I get the call from a doctor, or I get a call from a family member, my family member, or my patient just swallowed this chemical. And you know what it feels like to tell the doctor, that person is going to pass away, or you tell the family, your family member is going to pass away. It is a difficult thing to manage from myself. But I think we've got to inform our people, stay away from these things, because you're unleashing a chemical to yourself and your family that should not even be in your hands at all. It should only be on a farm for agricultural purposes. Don't go that route. It's too dangerous.
Sure. Really appreciate you giving us your time, toxicologist Dr. Gerard Verduren, who I hope we all heard, you know, just gave us a sense of how toxic this tuberose is and how to look out for it. He said, he's seen a particular one that people use for agricultural purposes, but there seems to be another kind. He says it's pure tuberose, which is what looks like a liquid, a yellowish type of liquid. And if you have that in your house, if you know someone that is selling it, please get rid of the stuff. Better yet, call the relevant people to help you get rid of it, because you are sitting on a ticking time bomb.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.